Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you are having a good one out there. Have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined... I don't know if I blew Seth's ears out. Seth, can you
I'm
hear
fine.
Me?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm sorry.
I'm all right.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining Seth and I for a Friday edition of Playmakers. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to head on over to A Street for all your printing needs. Mm-hmm. And know that the phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We want to hear from every one of you.
Yes.
We do have to start off our show, I believe, doing a live sports show that we get the privilege to do multiple times a week and everything. I feel like the only way and the most fitting way we could start is with the passing of Greg Gumbel. Just recently announced
On CBS News. Yeah,
I actually didn't even hear it. You heard it. Yep. You told me. And I have to be honest with you and the audience, that actually literally took me a step back. I did not know he was sick, and I feel for him and his family.
Absolutely.
Journalistic integrity involved. The Gumbels in Chicago are huge and have done a lot for the many neighborhoods and getting a lot of kids opportunities that they would not have had otherwise. Along with just being incredible at their jobs.
Absolutely.
I'm not a gigantic fan of his brother, but I know how great he is at what he does. But Greg, I love Greg.
Yes.
I thought he was great. Thought he was great at what he did. Most notably at doing work in the NFL and NCAA basketball.
Yeah.
The older brother, of course, of Brian Gumbel. He became the first African-American announcer to call play-by-play for a major sports championship in the United States when he announced the Super Bowl back in 01. Just one of the many things on his resume.
Yeah. He did so many sports. Do you remember back in the mid-90s, he did baseball. He did some of the playoff games.
That's right.
He called a couple of those.
I forgot about that.
Like you said, he did basketball. He, of course, did football as well. He also was in the studio for a while. He could do it all. And I think part of the thing with Greg that was a little different from his brother, he was more every man.
Yeah.
He seemed to connect with people better than Bryant did. He was more of a warmer feel to him. For whatever reason, he just seemed to connect with people easier than Bryant did. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was so respected and beloved. I think people really liked him. I mean, like in the 90s and into the early 2000s, him and Phil Simms, you know, the team, they did so many games. They were the lead CBS team. Yeah. And he was, you know, he called so many great games. You know, I just recently listened to a couple of them from the late 90s and the early 2000s. And I remembered, man, he was really good.
Yeah. A great tone, great voice, great pace. A confident humbleness to him that he carried with himself.
And a great sense of humor.
Yeah, really funny.
He had a great sense of humor.
The MC job is so difficult when you're sitting there on the live set and there is no second takes. And you just got to be able to work all these personalities. In the small realms that I've been in, I can tell you that can be difficult. I can't imagine what it's like on that set, whether it's him or Ernie Johnson on NBA Tonight or NBA and TNT and everything, where you've got, it's not just egos that you're dealing with. You're dealing with sports egos and people that have had to struggle and work so hard to get to where they did. And now the thing that they love so much they can't do anymore, they can just talk about it.
Right.
And the frustration, all these different layers of things going on, and you've got to be the guy to work all that. You're the conductor.
Yep.
And to be able to do it and do it what seemed like effortlessly, like Ernie Johnson does,
man.
Like Greg did.
Your timing has to be so good. You have to always keep your eye. You're doing several things, you know, spinning plates, like we like to say.
Yeah.
You got to keep everything moving because at that point, you're the lead. It's not the director. It's not, you know, the people out there and running the cameras and stuff. You're the ringleader. You got to make sure everything works.
He was great.
He was very good.
And he will be missed. I will be kind of wrapping on another one, on a note like that, similar. I've got some Ricky Henderson stats I want to get out there that even I didn't know that we'll wrap up with as we'll wrap up talking a little baseball. But we got other things we want to get to. And as Greg or anybody else would tell you and want, the show must go on.
It must.
Again, call up. up, join the conversation, everybody. We want to hear from you, and I want to hear what your favorite sports moment of 2024 was. We cannot do a live programming and not do year-end wrap-up stuff. Everybody has to do it. It's mandatory, whether we want to or not.
Yeah, like, it's literally, I think there's a law, actually.
Pretty much,
if the FCC is going to call up if we don't do it.
That's awesome. I love the idea. We got Sage calls us, like, did you guys not do, we got to fine $50 for not doing a best of. We need the what's your favorite sports moments of 2024 are. Go ahead and call us and let us know what those are, and you can use the Civic Media app to do it. Want to talk a little bit about a couple of the NFL and college football schedules. What is your burn the boat game? What is your game of the week? Got some fun stuff there I wanted to get to, as well as head coaching carousel and what's going on with that in the NFL.
The plot thickens. It's looking more interesting. Yeah,
but I have to like start the show here and being honest with the audience about something. Because I have been very frustrated with the NFL, as much as I love the NFL. And I'll speak to that more in a second here. The NBA, NFL had the first time that they have competed for Christmas eyeballs. Like
directly, yeah.
Yeah. My whole life, your whole life, NBA, Christmas Day, that's pretty synonymous, much felt like the thing, you know? At least since we were kids, it's been that way.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And I've always loved that as part of what I love about Christmas Day, honestly. I love at night watching the NBA night game. That's one I always used to be able to catch. Mm-hmm. And it was usually the Lakers or something like that. And everyone's, especially in the primetime Bull eras, it was the Bulls and Lakers usually. Mm-hmm. And man, did I just sit back and love those games and everything. But the, you know, I understand the NFL, what it is. I'm an adult and I understand business. I've talked before many times about, I think that you can oversaturate the market.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And you can overdo a good thing. Mm-hmm. And how the NFL has forgotten its name. You have forgotten your name. Hmm. You have forgotten who you are. You were never the number one game in town. The people made you that.
Exactly.
Diehard NFL fans that showed up for those Greg Gumbel games, those games that were being every Sunday we could count on. Mm-hmm. We knew there was going to be a game at 3:00.
Yep.
There was a game, not always a game at noon, or at least a game at noon and three, or one or the other, or both if you were lucky. You were going to get to catch some football.
Right.
And the diehard fans showed up, and the ratings went up, and advertisers noticed, and slowly, the NFL, while the NBA lost some of its luster, and MLB had trouble with strikes and steroids and all these things. Mm-hmm. Slowly, the NFL moved up in that race. Yep.
They found that hole and they went through it like a running back.
And yes, the players are a gigantic part of this. The coaches and all that. I'm not at all taking that.
Oh,
you don't
of course
have anything
not.
Without
yeah.
that.
Right.
That comes first. But you don't have anything without fans. And the fans made this, and you have forgotten your name, NFL, because the Christmas games that you were so quick to go ahead and get the mighty dollar of, you put them all on Netflix. And while I had a Netflix account, not a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does.
Yeah.
And especially with Netflix cracking down on the passwords and everything.
Right, right.
So that's making the audience even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I understand it's a business. This is how Netflix gets new subscribers, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And the NFL made a buttload of money on it.
Yes, exactly.
Money they did not need. Money they did not need. And you have forgotten who made you. And so the real diehard NFL fans were not able to watch it and catch those games. And that is ridiculous to me and insulting. And I think it's insulting that you need to take this from the NBA, that you need to do this kind of thing even. Okay. It's sad and ridiculous. I actually like what LeBron James said. I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
Yeah.
I would love to think that. I agree with that. And I want to completely own that I forgot that the NBA was on until about 2:00.
Oops.
It's 2:00. I'm there's a lot going on Christmas Day with my family.
Mm-hmm.
But while that's happening, Netflix is on, the NFL is on, and I'm glued to whatever plays I can drag one half of my eyeball on. And it's about 2:00 in the afternoon before, oh yeah, the NBA's got games going on. So as much as I'd love to be able to sit here on a high horse or something like that, I completely own that I took the bait.
Right. And it's interesting, though. I think the NBA did a fabulous job of picking the games that they did, because they had the stars out, man, and it did help. I mean, the look at the ratings were really good this year, even with the NFL and Netflix, which the games weren't that great. I mean, the teams that they picked, anyway. Well,
and thank you, Seth, because this is where I wanted to get the tie-in to, because the NBA has come out and said that they had better ratings than they've had in about 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah.
So did the NFL actually help the NBA? And did the NBA kind of set this up for the NFL all along?
That's a good question.
I wonder. I don't. It's a little bit. The only reason I think of this is because of Barbenheimer. Yeah, whatever they want to call it. Nobody saw that coming. That Oppenheimer would actually help Barbie, and Barbie would help Oppenheimer.
Right.
And actually, it's more so the reverse. Barbie helping Oppenheimer.
Exactly.
But it really did. Like
it actually happened.
Reason,
yeah.
People were going to the movies and doing a double feature kind of thing and everything, or they were going back the next day or the next weekend to go see the next movie or whatever. And the box office numbers were insane from that. Mm-hmm. And then we see the numbers from this. And I wonder if in a weird way, because people are already in a sports mindset, you know, just keeping the sports going. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they get a little tired or a little bored of a game and they flip to the other one, whether that was the NBA or the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm really curious, and I don't know how you would figure this out. People,
I don't know how you track that, yeah.
But I wonder if they actually helped each other out and I had this wrong all along. I don't think I'm wrong in the NFL for getting its name. I don't think I'm wrong in the idea that the NFL has oversaturated the market the chickens will come home to roost on that.
I agree.
But I do wonder if I was wrong about the idea, oh, they got to take this from the NBA and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're helping each other out.
Yeah, well, I know who they didn't help out was college football on Saturday.
Not
they destroyed the ratings so they could see it. I don't know. Are they just trying to take over everything? I mean, I don't get it.
That's the part that there is no skating past. What the NFL is doing to college football, whether it is having to have a game on a Friday when we've got high school football going on in our local communities, the lifeblood of the NFL is high school football. It's not college. It's high school football. Mm-hmm. That's where kids make the real decision of, do I want to do this the rest of my life, or do I want to be a mechanic? Do I want to do this? I want to do something else?
Or am I concerned about my long-term health if I play football? I mean, that's a legitimate question now.
Yeah. And they're squashing on that.
Yep.
You know, where mom and dad have to make a decision if they want to watch their hometown team in the NFL or if they want to watch their child. Now, no parent's probably making that decision. The decision's made. You're going to see your kid.
You know, this is so fascinating, man. The next 5 years.
I don't know if my dad would. I feel like my dad, if he had to choose between the Bears and me,
Better off not knowing. How about that?
It's probably better.
In the next 5 years. Seeing where college football and the NFL are going to end up here, because I mean we're already seeing the NFL GMs with college football GMs, you know, literally they finally given up and said, you know, this is a business. Again, why are they still connected to colleges? I don't understand. Why not just do? Yeah, I don't know. And I guess that's what's going to happen in the next few years. We're going to figure that out.
Yeah,
are they going to be? Is it going to be enough to compete with the NFL? You know, I mean. In a certain way, I guess you really can't because of the, you know, the age difference and all that because of the players. But what is it going to be? What is it going to turn into?
Yeah.
And that's a huge question that we just don't know what's going to happen.
It's something that we're all going to see. We're all going to be here to witness in real time, and whether they sink or swim on this, it's going to be really interesting. I will say, I have a lot more hope for it than not, and it's not coming from a genuine place. It's about money.
100%.
You figure things out when that much money's involved.
Oh, and
you're
going to
figure it out.
The amounts of money we're talking about is just.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to figure it out one way or another because, if anything else, they're not going to let that money just. They're not, and
leave it on the table. No, they will not.
And a big thing that we're seeing a lot, especially in business, and let's not forget, as much as we are insane about our sports and everything, it's always going to be a business. Mm-hmm. Being number one is not enough, it's staying number one. That's what it is. And for the NFL to do that, or for college football or any of these other things, they're going
to
be, crabs in a barrel in some ways, I think, which is not good. The people that suffer are the people that always suffer, the fans.
Yep.
That's who's going to really feel it from this.
And now we're seeing the uptick of women's sports, especially the WNBA. I mean, where is that going to go in the next couple of years? Will people finally be sick of, you know, the other stuff and say, no, we want to watch this instead, you know? So I don't know. It'll be really fascinating.
where do you guys think this will go? We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the NFL and college schedules. The college football schedule, of course, has a lot of bowl games.
Right.
And you're going to be having the playoff kicking in this weekend again. Mm-hmm. It's odd to have the playoffs kind of stop and go like this a little bit and with these bowl games in between. But it is kind of ever-flowing, and I kind of like that. Right now, Vanderbilt's beating up on Georgia Tech in the fourth quarter. Looks like they're going to win that one. Navy beat Oklahoma. And I'm sorry, Michael.
When's the last time that happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It was a close game, but that
wow.
That was wild.
Navy had a heck of a year this year.
Really did.
They did. Wow.
It is always – I don't think – here, hopefully this makes you feel a little better, Michael, if you're out there listening. Shout out to you, brother. It's always going to mean something to beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where, how many decades and forward in college football we go or anything
far away
like
from
that.
Bob Swoops we are, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's always going to mean something. So that's a real big, that's a cool win for Navy, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really neat. Yeah.
And if anything, it's going to, they're going to, try to bring everybody in on I'm looking at Georgia Tech the same way. Oklahoma, Georgia Tech had some good games, had some things to build on this season. I think losing a bowl game is as rough as it is. It's not the end of the world, and for a coaching staff, it's everything you can almost ask for because it's bulletin board material,
right?
You know? And as we've seen with recruiting, it doesn't affect recruiting hardly at all. It never really has.
No,
these kids, they're making their decisions on bigger things or other things than wins and losses, it feels like.
Yeah.
There are kids out there like that. There are the Derrick Henrys out there that all they had their stats in high school. Now they want to win. And there's no wrong way to do this, I think, because nobody has a playbook for it.
No.
We got plays to outsmart plays when it comes to X's and O's on the field. But there is absolutely no playbook for half of this other stuff that we ask of these athletes.
No, it's not.
Like off the field and all that. There's no. The only one thing I can think of is what Herm Edwards said a long time ago, think before you hit send. that's almost all I got to go on.
You know, I was watching an old game that Herman Edwards played in when he was a cornerback for the Jets, and they called him Herman then.
Oh, wow.
They called him Herman Edwards. I was like, as having grown up with him as a coach and a broadcaster, it's like, it was always Herm. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
UNC and UConn are going to be playing, and really interesting. I believe it's the UConn coach, Jim Mora. I think it is. He coached at UCLA for a while and everything. That was good over there. He went to the NFL, came back, and has been building UConn up to where UConn,
which was never a big thing. No, yeah, UConn was always a basketball school, and now which is really cool. Jim Mora. Wow, there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
UNC has, of course, has the Sith Lord waiting. That's still interesting too. They've had a couple of people leave off of that team, so that's not as good of a game as it could have been.
Yeah, who knows?
Miami in the Pop Tarts Bowl. Miami number 13, number 18, Iowa State. I think that could be a really good game. Maybe the coolest trophy there is outside of obviously winning it all and winning some of these big name trophies like the Rose Bowl or something like that. The Pop Tarts Bowl, the trophy is a working toaster. That's awesome.
That's actually not bad. I like that, you know. If we're going to have ridiculous names to our bowls, let's do ridiculous trophies. Let's just go all in.
College,
2 feet in, man.
You're just leaning into college football.
Yeah.
Almost all of the trophies are ridiculous.
Right.
They're all crazy. You're fighting for a spitting jug in certain battles and everything. Like, it just leans into it.
Just don't offer Lamar Jackson cake. That's all. Yeah, don't offer him any cake.
Well,
he's not going to eat it.
That was a bad call. That was a bad, like, the jackets, I didn't mind the Netflix jackets.
Yeah, okay.
That was a neat idea. Yep. I thought that was okay. But they overdid it, like Netflix does with a lot of things. And you're asking athletes to eat like junk food.
Like sugar, like pure after they've just played a football game.
These guys walk off the field and are weighed. Like, what are you doing? Talk about not knowing your audience.
Unless you're Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Well, then, of course, he's kind of a lump right now. But anyway.
The Alamo Bowl features number 17 BYU, number 23 Colorado. Not only interesting because of the closeness of those states and the rivalries there, but obviously with the players involved, where you have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter, the one of the better two-way players we've seen, and Shardue Sanders and all that. Because, yes, they are playing everybody. For all the talk of people sitting out bowl games, for all the ranting and raving, whether you were a fan or you hated Deion in this Colorado experience with Shredder and Travis Hunter, all of that noise, I hear peeps. I hear nobody giving them credit that they are playing this game.
Yeah.
That
now, doesn't fit the narrative.
Now, should they be given credit for doing what you should do? I think, just my opinion, I think you fill out your college experience. I think you play that game.
Right, yeah.
I would tell my child to play that game. Mm-hmm. Whether they did or not, that's their business. But I would tell them, my advice, play the game.
Right.
You're going to want that memory. You know, nothing is guaranteed in life.
Well, exactly. I mean, who knows how far much further you're going to go. Really, you have no idea.
This is your last chance to do this for fun, in a way. And everything. I would encourage them to do it.
There's nothing really is at stake here, you know, that kind of thing.
At the same time, I understand business decisions and all that, blah, blah, blah. But for all the rambling and, oh, these guys are bad for the game, or they type too much, or they talk too much, or whatever, these guys from day one have said they are playing in the bowl game. They are going to be doing this. I think that's awesome. I think that's very cool they're doing it.
I agree.
It should also be noted that Colorado secured what is said to be a record insurance coverage for them these players.
Also, well, you got to cover your bases.
Should be noted. Yes. Just a complete story there, covering all bases. I want to
got to throw that out there.
I do give them credit. You can do both. Just a couple of quick notes before we go to our first time out here. Teddy Bridgewater has unretired after winning a high school title in his hometown in Florida.
Okay.
And he's backing up Matthew Stafford.
You went back in time for a minute. Jared Goff. Yeah, and Detroit. So, wow.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Old Two Gloves gets the opportunity to do something kind of cool here. That's pretty
two
cool.
Gloves. That always gets me. Anyway,
I was a fan of Teddy Bridgewater in college at Louisville. I didn't mind him as an NFL quarterback.
Yep.
And I think this storyline's kind of cool. To be honest with you, when your diehard team is not in it, you're looking for storylines.
Yeah,
that's all.
It's interesting, right? Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
This is kind of wild. This guy just won a high school title as a high school coach and everything.
And now he's back in the NFL. Yeah,
now he's going to go beat up by 300-pound men that can run 4.5.
Yeah. I hope he never gets into a game.
Yeah.
Because the moment it happens, it's like instant injury. So, we don't want to see that.
Well, and imagine the idea if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl. Like, out of the 18 hours of pregame, at least 3 hours is going to be, and Teddy Bridgewater just won a high school trophy. He has the opportunity to win the
Lombardi.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Disney's going to be all over it. They're going to turn it into a weak movie.
The Teddy Bridgewater story.
Yes. That is. I would, if we have time, we'll get into this. The head coaching carousel and some of that. We'll see where that we end up on that one when we come back from break. And I also want to get into some baseball talk with you. But just a quick NFL story. And I'll let you guys do the homework on this one. I'll give you the lead, the first couple sentences, like any good book, any good story that gets you in the first paragraph. So I think I can get you with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick attended a Pink Floyd concert together back in their Cleveland coaching days.
Wow.
Just let that sit there. Just let that. The two of the most uptight, stuffy people in that we've seen. I don't think they are.
We don't know what they're like in, normal situations, because we always see them in front of a camera, right?
Imagine them jamming out to Comfortably Numb. Just like bobbing their heads to that. Yeah, just, in a Pink Floyd concert.
I know he didn't have, but if you see pictures, Bill Belichick when he coached, under Marty Schottenheimer, but he didn't have long hair, but I totally would love to see that. Like,
I want to see Nick Saban just talking about the lyrics of Dark Side, any of the lyrics off of any of the songs of Dark Side of the Moon. I want to be there when they're talking about, so if you line up the Wizard of Oz with the... I want to hear that story. I want to hear that from them.
I want to know if they've tried that.
Yes.
That's what I want to know.
I feel with every bone in my body, I am confident to say that they have. They have. I would be shocked. In fact, I don't even know if I believe them if they said they didn't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd believe them. I'm like, come on.
Sorry, Bill Belichick. No. Don't believe you. No, sorry.
If you are a big enough Pink Floyd fan to have gone to a Pink Floyd concert, definitely.
Yeah.
Because this is back in 91. This is back in around then.
That was right when they were starting their coaching careers. That's that's great.
Go ahead, chase that rabbit hole, everybody, and have fun, because it's a fun story. I think story. We'll be back with more fun on right here at Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll just come back. No music. No music.
No We're music. We'll just come back.
Sorry about that, everybody. That was on me. I'm not sure what did there.
A little weirdness going on, but that's all right. It's all good.
It's not. That's how you know I'm on the air. That's how you know
weirdness
I'm
going
the
on.
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't want to let down the audience and not have something weird happen.
Very good. Very good.
Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth and James hanging out with you. Feel free to call us up. Hit us in the numbers 715-424-2600. Speaking of numbers, okay. Got our show stat show coming up for you. I got one to start off this segment, and then we'll kind of wrap up the show with a couple of Ricky Henderson stats that I came across that even didn't know.
Love it.
I was speaking on the Monday night football or the Christmas games mm-hmm. by the NFL mm-hmm. and the Ravens and Texans game that I thought was going to be the game of the night of the day turned out to not really be. It really wasn't much of a contest. CJ Stroud just is, you know, I don't know about the sophomore slump stuff when you're being hit that much. Like it's really hard, whether we're talking about him or Caleb Williams or Joe Burrow or any of these guys. Not that Caleb Williams is in that class with those guys. I'm just thinking about quarterbacks. Those are the top three quarterbacks that have been sacked the most in the NFL this year.
Yeah. I think someone mentioned he's starting to see ghosts, which is understandable when you get, when you get hit that much, it's hard not to.
He's still a human being.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson was not seeing ghosts. He was making them. Like, he was just running a game, and he has been. And oddly enough, I'm watching it, and I'm like, is he faster than he was at Louisville? Yeah. Like, he seems like he's in better shape than he's ever been in. Mm-hmm. He's faster than he's ever been in, and that's not how this is supposed to work. I had to double check. He's in year seven.
He's been doing that for this long. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he broke the record, so he must have been doing it for a while.
He's had some injuries. He's mm-hmm. had some hiccups in his giddy, you know, and all that. And his legs are still doing that mm-hmm. to the point that he had 48 rushing yards, and Jackson's maximum speed on the run that he had there, that big mm-hmm. play, 21.25 miles an hour.
Wow.
He was going almost at speed limit in a rural area. That's insane.
That's if you're doing like a 21, 22 miles per hour, you're fast in the NFL. And he's a remarkable athlete. I mean, something else. My goodness.
We love talking, big time headlines and sports with you guys and everything. That's how we stay relevant as a network and as a show. Mm-hmm. But we are nothing without local, and we cover our local teams, I think, better than most.
Pretty good.
One of the things that we have wanted to make sure to mention is that our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters have their hot stove event coming up.
Yes, that's right. January.
If you sign up for their newsletter, you'll get that information right away, everybody. I encourage you to do that. Their hot stove event is right around the corner. Sorry, my computer is not working.
Yeah, I know what's going on. There we go.
Okay, January 18th from 6 to 9 over at the Hotel Mead. That'll be going on. You can RSVP for the event just by going to the rafters at northwoodsleague.com. Mm-hmm. Just head on over there to sign up for that, everybody. Yep. Encourage you to do so. And I'm excited about the Rafters this season. New coaching staff, bringing in some familiar faces while also some new ones, as we're used to with our Northwoods League.
Yeah.
And just excited that baseball's around the corner.
Of course.
And very happy that they're doing this still, that they're still able to do the hot stove events and everything. Shout out to the Hotel Mead hosting it.
Got to keep people interested in what's going on. And I think we are. This community really loves their Rafters. So
encourage you to follow the Rafters online, especially their Facebook and Instagram pages. They're doing this Throwback Thursday thing where they're going back and replaying moments. A little while ago, they had on from the championship year they had on some moments from there.
All right.
Let's take a call. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good evening, fellas. How are you doing?
All right. Doing all right.
Happy holidays. Hey,
you were just talking about Teddy Bridgewater and Lamar Jackson, and I got to thinking, is Lamar Jackson Teddy Bridgewater without the injury?
Ooh.
It's not a bad question.
Possible.
At all. Yeah, it's not a bad
possible.
Question.
I don't have the numbers as far as like height, weight, and 40 time or anything, but I never really thought about it. But yeah.
I watched as many plays as I possibly could of Randall Cunningham, and I look at Lamar Jackson, and that's the closest I've ever seen, but what 100% better. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy for me to say. As much as I love Cunningham, right. As much as I love that quarterback, Lamar Jackson is him times 100. Like the size of him, the mobility, the agility, and the biggest difference with Lamar Jackson that is almost uncomparable to any other quarterback that we can mention or reference. between the ears. Mm-hmm. It's the creativity. It's the imagination of these guys. That's the biggest difference maker, I think, with any quarterback, any great quarterback you want to bring up. Mm-hmm. And I mean like guaranteed great. Like we don't question like that's a legend right there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy for some of us to say as far as whether you're talking about off the field or you're talking about him beating up on our teams or anything with I'm talking to two Viking fans and a Bear fan here.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers wasn't faster than anybody. He wasn't the most fit guy on the field or anything like that. He had a way of seeing the field differently.
Yep.
He got out of the pocket and was able to do something that no other quarterback could do like he could. Reset.
Yep.
He reset. And he saw it a completely different way than when he was taking the snap at first. The way that Tom Brady or Joe Montana just seemed to will their teams to
victory. Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. With Mahomes, it's so much of the idea of getting the ball to the receiver, to the other guy, and how do I do that? And finding different ways, sidearming it, and just having a creative mindset that's different than others. It's all about that brain. You can have we're seeing guys better, faster than we've ever seen before, sure. And that means something. I'm not making light of that. But all that aside, give me that brain. That's what you need. If you're looking for the next great quarterback, if you're out there drafting or anything, I want the creative guys. I want the guys that have that imagination for the game. Mm-hmm. That's what those are the difference makers. Yep. And Lamar Jackson or Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater is a little like that. Not nearly. I think that's the big difference to me in those guys. It's not just the injuries. Injuries are a huge part of it. And I think Bridgewater could have been one of the better quarterbacks of our generations and everything. But I do like the comparison.
I still think that Pat Mahomes is the second coming of Fran Tarkenton.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The original one, right?
Yeah. They play so loose on the field, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a perfect way to word it too, man. Yeah. Loose. It does feel like that. That's that. I don't know if I've heard a better verb for their game, whether it's Tarkenton or that or anything. Yeah, because they do seem to be out there playing
like cool
playing in the dirt with their friends and everything.
Ever seen Patrick Mahomes flap?
It's like backyard football.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Has he ever looked, you know, like he was nervous or something like that? No.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the game is. He's just cool. You know, he's always right there.
What do you got to be excited, both of you, all of you, this whole state. There's a big one coming up this week.
Yeah.
I would think in the NFL, there's only one burn the boats game. There's only one mandatory game for both sides, I would say, in Minnesota and Green Bay facing off this week.
Mm-hmm.
There is, as there always is with these games, a lot on the line for reputation and bragging rights and all that. But for Green Bay, this is an opportunity. This is gigantic for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the difference of having to go to Philly, Detroit on the road, or not having to do at least one of those or something, and a little bit of an easier path. I think some of this stuff gets a little muddied because we don't know how difficult, who's going to be healthy, who isn't, and those kind of things. And Green Bay has proven, well, have they? They went on the road last year and won in Dallas, but is that really proving it? Like, is it? If you beat the Cowboys in Jerry World, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Because they can't seem to win there anymore for whatever reason.
I got a lot of good friends in Texas. I'm not saying that about Texas fans. That's not about the fans.
No.
That's about the product on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I still kind of, you know, I have my trepidations when it comes to Sam Darnold and the Vikings in the playoff history.
Of course.
But I think the Packers, Vikings, Lions all make the playoffs, beat each other up, and then lose to the Eagles.
Right. That would be the way.
There's a good chance. Yeah. That could happen.
The Eagles got to be healthy enough to get there, though, too. Jalen Hurts is banged up. I don't believe he's in concussion protocol anymore, but you got a dangerous game for them with Dallas. And this is the only time I'll say this, maybe in the next couple of years, but Dallas is dangerous as you're facing an NFC, fellow NFC East team, and a team with nothing to lose and a team with everything to lose.
Yeah.
In football, I don't think that there's another sport that you can, like in baseball, you can, I feel like you can tell more times than not if a player isn't, his heart isn't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no more dangerous game to not have your heart in it than football. And there's no more dangerous game to be looking ahead than football. And, I mean, if Philly's doing that and Dallas is coming into it with nothing to lose, and you're Mike McCarthy, and this may be the last NFL coaching game of your career, I can't imagine, you know, what that
big,
what,
how big that... Mike will have a soft landing somewhere. Come on now.
It'd be interesting. I tell you one thing. I know I can make one prediction about that game. Saquon Barkley may carry the ball 40 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have to.
Just give him the ball, man.
That'll be the only thing he's carrying.
Yeah.
It'll be the whole team on his back.
That's
whole
right. Team, absolutely.
Team. You got to go out on that, man. That's good line. That's good line. That's good line.
All right, guys.
Hey, appreciate you.
Yeah, you too. Have a happy New Year's.
You too, man.
Happy New Year's to you too, brother. Yep. Ed, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Call up, everybody. Join the conversation. Taking a look at our schedules in that, just focusing on the NFL, mentioned that. You got a lot of divisional games, Jets, Bills. You've got the Panthers and Buccaneers. That could be good.
You know, on paper, a lot of these are like snore. You know, I mean,
there's so much snoring.
There is. And there's not much we could do about it because, like you said, there are a lot of divisional games this week, and they were because they got to play them. So, you know.
And they had a lot of games used up already with the Thursday night football and Wednesday night football.
And Saturday. And football. Yeah.
So I do think that it's pretty easy. And not just, Lions and 49ers is a good one.
Yeah.
Just, what he was saying about Sam Darnold, I feel that way about San Francisco. I'm not, even though I should be counting them out, and they are counted out, and statistically they are, and all that, that's still a team that I don't take lightly because they've still got playmakers on that team. Long as Fred Warner's lining up, I would not take that man lightly. That's the Predator.
And
that's,
I mean, and suddenly Debo is come to life all of a sudden. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? So, I mean... I'm with you. You can't necessarily count them out.
Everything I was saying about Philly and Dallas, it's a similar thing with Detroit and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Detroit's got something to prove against San Fran because they beat them last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But Detroit also is playing a beaten, hungry animal that has nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. So, and you're San Francisco, you have a chance to maybe. I mean, the one thing Detroit can't have is any kind of injuries, any more injuries.
Injuries. I mean, that's the thing. It's just their defense. Has just been decimated.
So, Green Bay traveling to Minnesota has got to be the game of the week.
It's got
to
be.
It really does. And that is going to be a good one. It's hard to imagine that won't be a good game.
You know, I do have to mention one thing about Sam Darnold, too, because I have the same trepidations, you know, that Sam Darnold is at some point. You know, it's going to be the rug pull. You know, it's going to be a surprise. That was Sam Darnold all along, you know, that kind of thing. But he had a couple of bad games in the middle of the season, but he turned it around, and man, he's had several really good games in a row. I mean, maybe it's because I'm a Vikings fan that's like, I can't believe it until we're at the end, and maybe then, you know, kind of thing that say if they win everything, it's like, oh, now I can finally be okay.
But
not until then. I can't. I just can't do it.
I think it's understandable. I think it's a sports fan in all of us when we look at these things and we see a player have a breakout year that hasn't had that before or anything. Ryan Tannehill. It was a similar thing with him. Heck, it was a similar thing with Teddy Bridgewater.
That's true.
Geno Smith. I didn't believe
another
it.
Another good. Yep.
You know, there's a handful of these, but I'm also bringing those up in the idea that it's so much. I think that so much of the time it comes down to the coaching and the surrounding pieces and how often it is that we are quick to call these guys a bust. And for every Jamarcus Russell, that was a clear bust. And I mean, just even he has owned his life and owned that he, you know, look, I wasn't trying. I was playing video games and all this. There are guys that maybe are not a bust. Maybe they would have been okay. This guy would have worked out had they had been in the, they got drafted by the right team.
Well, and we've seen some of that already this year. You know, you mentioned earlier CJ Stroud, you know, and all the struggles he's had here. And then we've seen, you know, Bryce Young take a step forward in the last half of the season, which is, you know, the narrative last year was, you know, the biggest bust in history, you know, Bryce Young, and look at CJ Stroud, he's this amazing new thing. Well, they're kind of moving in different directions now, and maybe people were a little too quick to place those judgments down there. Well, I mean, I don't know what Bryce Young can do the rest of his career, but he's looking better than he's ever looked in the NFL, and maybe he's getting there. Maybe he's getting to that point where he can be one of those better quarterbacks.
We're going to have plenty of time in the offseason to talk about this, but just as we're going into break, just to touch on the coaching carousel a little bit, as the Bears lose a just ugly, awful game yesterday to the Seattle Seahawks. Interesting, the going into that, one of the bigger headlines, ex-Seahawks and head coach, GM, I believe, at one time, former USC coach, champion over in college and in the NFL.
Only a couple guys have done that.
Pete Carroll is interested in getting back into coaching, and he's interested in the Chicago Bears job.
Now, fascinating.
This being leaked, I think, makes it very, I mean, for a lot of reasons, this is not going to happen. But I think it leaks out there, for one, for Pete Carroll, to let his agent, to let everybody know, hey, Pete is interested in coaching
again. Coaching again, yep.
Mm-hmm. It benefits the Bears, and it looks like a more enticing job because of Pete Carroll is interested in it. Mm-hmm. But I've mentioned many times that the Bears don't hire veteran coaches. The one time they did it with John Fox, it went horrible. So I don't think they'll ever do it again. I didn't think, you know, whether it was Belichick or Pete Carroll or any of these guys, I'm not even sure Mike Vrabel has a chance.
Wow.
I just don't see them doing this. Mm-hmm. But more so my point, whether it's the Chicago Bears or it's the New York Jets or the New York Giants or even the Pittsburgh Steelers, because nobody wants to include them in this conversation, mm-hmm. but they are the outlier of teams being owned by families.
Mm.
And what that used to mean, and how much mm-hmm. I, as a fan, loved that and thought that was really cool as a kid. And as an adult, I find it to be insane. It drives me insane. Only because these individuals will hire their family members to do jobs that they are not qualified to do. And anything in life, and I don't care what we're talking about, if we're talking about a gas station or we're talking about the highest office in the land, when you are hiring people to do a job that they are not qualified for, that they cannot do, that is insanity to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care what it is.
It's not going to work.
And it has never worked. No. It has never worked on any facet, in any medium, no matter what we're talking about, it never works. And it's insane to me. And I will say something right now, and God, I'd love to be wrong, but you are going to love hearing this out there. As long as the Chicago Bears are owned by the McCaskies, they will never win a Super Bowl. They may never win an NFC championship. They may luck into it. They may have lucked into a great quarterback, but they will not luck into a Super Bowl. Nobody lucks into a championship.
Mm, no.
And as long as they are owning that team, it will never happen. And I will make the argument that whether it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, who everybody raves about, well, three coaches and all these years and all that and everything, you luck into things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they lucked into all of it, but some of it has to do with luck.
Yes, absolutely. It has to, yeah.
The Giants, the Jets, any of these teams. Now, I don't like this. I don't like the idea of tech companies coming in and buying these teams up or anything, but at least they get things done, and at least they look at it like a business, and at least they hire people that are good at the job or can be good at the job.
Talk about making a deal with the devil, huh?
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Yep.
We got to go to break, but I want to take a phone call before that. Good afternoon. You were on the air.
Well, good evening again. It's funny you bring up the McCaskies. Did you watch that Vikings-Bears game?
Yeah, a little bit of it, yeah.
And did you see how nervous the McCaskies and Brian Poles were chewing their gum the entire game?
Yeah,
They kept showing them in the press box, and I was like, oh, those are two guys that are probably on their way out.
Well, I wonder, too, how often they have the actual TV broadcast on, and they're seeing some of the graphics popping up and everything. I wonder how often that's happening, or they're just locked into the game. Yeah. In those press boxes, they can't see the field as well unless they have the monitors up.
Right, the TV's up.
Sometimes they have a TV up. Sometimes they have the actual broadcast up.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, too, if that's part of it. They're like, that's uncomfortable. Yeah, I saw that, too.
I'll let you guys go, but how fun is Jameis Winston to watch? I'll let you go with that.
He's the only thing that's more fun than is hearing him talk. That's more fun.
He's almost certifiably insane, but it doesn't matter because the Browns aren't playing him again.
Yep.
Nope, they're gonna start the worst quarterback in the league.
Yep, Jameis Winston was too gunslinger for football. He was more gunslinger than Brett Favre, and I say that because he lost his job.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's how it happens. Like, you know, Favre was almost too little of a gunslinger.
Yeah.
He kept his job and won a championship. Real quick before break, some breaking news: outfielder Teoscar Hernandez, and the Dodgers are in agreement on a 3-year, $66 million.
Oh, he's going back to the Dodgers. Okay,
cool. Man. The rich get richer.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk a little baseball with you when we come back on Playmaker. Here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. We got about 5-6 minutes left of show. Feel free to use it with your phone call, 715-424-2600. I didn't believe you had anything today.
No, not really.
I didn't think so, as I asked you with 2 seconds left. but I did want to mention, I did have something kind of fun for us to wrap up on. I had some Ricky Henderson stats I wanted to touch on. But I also came across a great article at MLB.com. You can go ahead and check this out at MLB.com, everybody. Every team's longest home run of 2024.
That's awesome.
When I actually pulled this up, I thought it was the longest home runs of the year.
Mm.
But it's for every team.
Yep.
For example, one of the bigger home run hitters out there, Vladimir Guerrero, 471 feet on June 24th against Boston.
Oh man! Okay, anything over
Fenway.
Anything over 450 feet is monstrous. Mm. We have to keep that in perspective here, people.
And I love that they have the clips with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and see the clips.
Can
and
watch
everything.
these moonshots. Yeah,
Aaron Judd had one about 7 feet farther, 477 feet, August 2nd against Toronto. Oddly enough.
Man, he abuses baseballs, that man. I mean, seriously.
It's a great way to put it. Bobby Witt Jr., May 21st against Detroit, 468 feet. That kid's only going to get better, too.
Oh, my gosh. And he's fast and he's strong. Oh, man. And his defense, he did like a complete 180 on his defense. He's something special. He is something special.
You love to see these guys that are great and they want to be legends. Mm-hmm. And they continue to work and get better at their craft. He is one of those.
Hard worker.
And he loves playing in KC. Like, that's pretty cool. He's never going anywhere. Like, that contract.
He's going to be George Brett. He's going to be one of those guys that stays. I hope he stays there his whole career.
That's awesome.
Yep.
For your Twins, Seth, Byron Buxton on June 27th against Arizona, 456 feet.
Man, if he ever had, if his body didn't betray him so much, he could have been an all-time great.
He's going to be one of the, for Twin, I could see him going into the Minnesota Twin Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That for sure. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of the most star-crossed players in Minnesota sports history.
Probably one of the most talented, physically talented people that ever played for the Twins, but his injuries. Yeah.
I know that they haven't won necessarily much in recent decades, but that's a respected franchise in Major League Baseball that has great history.
Yep.
And he's all over the stat books.
Yes.
Like, that's saying something. When you're when you're ahead of Dave Winfield or Kirby Puckett on some things or something like that, that means something. I don't even think I should mention the White Sox, but Luis Robert had a 470, big deal.
Hey, 470's not bad. And he's still there.
Yeah, for now. Mike Trout, 473 feet on April 4th. First, but I, of course, am looking for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers. Ronald Acuna Jr., 461.
Yeah.
There's another one that can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
If he could,
especially for my fantasy team, it was a big shame.
Right. No. I was going to let the audience guess, but we're running a little low on time here and everything. But, I'll give it a minute. If you want to call up and guess who had the biggest home run for the Brewers last year, 715-424-2600.
I'm trying to think of who the boppers would be.
Yeah, I think your traditional guy, Willie Adames, had a great year, had a lot of homers. Christian Yelich was still doing some great
maybe
things.
Maybe Rhys Hoskins, home run hitter kind of guy. But
okay, so Jackson Churio, August 27th versus San Francisco, 449 feet.
Nice. Man, talk about guys who are going to get better. Ooh, that's scary.
Pretty good year for rookies when he finished third in Rookie of the Year voting, when he had the year he had.
When you're in the same league as Paul Skeens, that's impressive. It is.
Incredible season. Went 2020. Mm-hmm. Got it. 21 home runs, 22 stolen bases. Had a 3.9 WAR as a rookie.
Almost a 4 WAR. And I know a lot of people don't know what that is. But no, that's a really amazing. I mean, him and all the Jacksons, Jackson Holiday, Jackson Merrill out in San Diego, who I think was second in the rookie of the year voting. I mean, there's going to be some really good players coming up. Good stuff.
If you're in the NBA, you're looking at what's happening in baseball, and you're like, why them? How come they get all the? Because basketball is really nervous about not having enough young talented players, and who's going to take over the mantle for LeBron and Steph and all this.
No, yeah, they are terrified.
Baseball, who isn't? It seems like it's getting to be like when we were a kid again, and every team had a superstar.
Yeah,
maybe I'm romanticizing it, but when we were kids, it felt like every team had at least
they had
guy.
One good pitcher and they had one good position player. The good teams had more than that, of course, but every team had something.
Wrapping up the week, like I think we have to, talking about one of the greatest baseball players of all time, in Ricky Henderson. And that is not hyperbole or anything like that.
He's Ricky. Ricky. We all know who we're talking about.
It's Buster only. It's the guys that really we all respect it and that we've loved this game for longer than I've been alive at saying that. Nobody scored more than Ricky. Henderson had 2,295 runs over his 25 seasons. Ty Cobb is second with 246. So
50, blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
A stat that I don't know if will be broken.
No, it will not.
Ricky was the first since Williams to have 140 runs in a season.
That's insane.
Nobody was intentionally walked like him. You touched on this the other
day. He actually has the record for most unintentional walks. His batting eye was so good. And of course he had that exaggerated crouch, which made his strike zone was tiny. Talked about pitchers who pitched against him. They're like, you could throw a strike to him.
Yeah.
He was too small.
But what I did not know and I thought was fascinating, Ricky's career was great even late. Henderson stole an MLB leading 66 bases with the A's in 98 when he was 39. He had 118 the year before at 38. And Henderson stole 109 bases after turning 40, an all-time record. Cap Anderson is second with 90. At 40 years old.
He was 40 years old. He was one of a kind. Ricky was Ricky, and he will be greatly missed. One of the best of all time.
Great show, Seth. Thanks. Have a good weekend, everybody.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.